we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry. Good to be here tonight with you ladies. My name is Lisa Brubaker. I'm part of the morning group. I used to be part of the evening group many years ago when I worked. So I know what it's like to be here after work or after a very long day, so bear with me. I will try and keep you awake. God's word is good. Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4. Let's open up in prayer again before we start. Father God, I do pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be here right now. Lord, that you would calm my heart. Father, that you would just speak through me, Lord, what you have for my sisters and even for me, Lord, as I speak. Father, that they would be your words and nothing more. And I just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Lord, we do lift up the Supreme Court confirmation hearings, Lord, that are going on. We pray for Amy Coney Barrett, Father God, that you would give her wisdom and discernment, Lord, to weed through all those questions, Father. Lord God, that you would set her in a place, Father, in a position of the Supreme Court, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, because you, Father, direct the king's ways, Lord, the ways of man. And Father, we trust you for the outcome, and we just will continue to stay faithful in prayer. So be with us tonight. We thank you for this time. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Real quick before I get into the study, being seared with having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know when you've burned yourself or even cut yourself and you get that scar tissue over a period of time, what happens? You can't feel anything in that area anymore, right? That's what this is talking about. Their conscience, these false teachers, has become so scarred and so hard. Their hearts have become hard. Their conscience has become hard, and they just don't feel any remorse for what they're doing. So that's what that's talking about. John Norstad, a Northwestern University systems engineer and computer guru, once discovered the source of many computer viruses. In an interview with Peter Gorner, Norstad said, and I quote, I went to a conference in Europe in 1992 and met most of my counterparts in the PC antiviral community. One fellow was a Bulgarian who told us about the Bulgarian virus writing factory. Evidently, during the communist heyday, the KGB trained and paid PC programmers to break Western copy protection schemes. It was an official piracy program meant to frustrate computer users on a global scale. How many of you had to deal with computer viruses ever? And at work, oh my goodness, everything shuts down. So we know what it's about. Then when the government fell in Bulgaria, all these people were out of work and bitter. So they formed a virus writing club and set about infecting the US community worldwide. A significant percentage of the PC viruses came out of a group of dissatisfied hackers who had formerly worked for the communist, end quote. Computer viruses are a lot like false teaching. If you think about it, they attack and affect God and morality. They destroy what's valuable. Where do all the false teachings come from? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, they come from deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They intentionally pump error into the world and deceive and destroy people. They take what's good and they pump in the deceiving lies like a virus and destroy what's good. As we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we will see an abundance of these false teachers. Has anyone ever seen any of them? Heard them? I think we all know we have. The Holy Spirit said to beware of three things in the latter days, here in 1 Timothy. He says to be aware of the danger of departing from the faith, the danger of deception, the danger of false teaching. These things are still a danger for believers today. Because we're in the last days, we need to be on guard at all times. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And he said that in 1 John 4:1. We're encouraged in Ephesians 6:11 to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a battle zone, ladies. We wear the armor of God so that we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We don't see the spiritual realm. I think if we would, we would just be so frightened. But this isn't the reality of what's going on when it comes to the spiritual world. There are demons out there attacking our families, us, and God's angels are there also fighting. It's a battle, and we are in the middle, and we get attacked too. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We know the devil's schemes. So departing from the faith. Paul begins chapter 4 with a warning from the Holy Spirit. Notice first that the Spirit expressly said. He didn't just nonchalantly say it in passing. He expressly said it with emphasis and with force, with clarity. God speaks to us through his word with clarity. He said in the latter times, we're living in the latter times. Okay, Paul was living in the latter times. We're still living in the latter times, so we're not to be surprised at these things. It says that some, not all, some will depart from the faith. I'm encouraged by the fact that Paul says some, not everyone, which means I don't have to be a part of that group, right? So how do I do that? How do I ensure that I'm not part of the some that's going to be deceived? The departing in the Greek means apostasy, which is the act of refusing to continue to follow, refusing to obey or recognize Jesus, and abandoning the essential teachings of the Christian faith. Joy is always telling us, know what you believe and why you believe it. The false doctrines out there will attack your foundational beliefs. It's sound doctrine. It's good teaching of the gospel, and the gospel that's free from error and falsehood. What can I do to ensure that I don't fall away from the faith? Well, those that fall away are doing what? They're giving heed to deceiving spirits. Okay, they're listening. They're paying attention to things that aren't true. What are those who are falling away doing? They're listening. So we need to listen to a different voice. We need to listen to the Lord. We can't forget, ladies, that Satan is commander in chief of the evil forces that are lined up against us, against those who follow God. Satan's against us and his demons are against us. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we put a target on ourselves. Satan knows his time is coming to an end. He knows it's close. Have we seen things ramping up in the world? The false lies, the things that are going on in our schools, the things that our kids are being taught, he's ramping up his attacks, and we need to be ready. The devil is our sworn mortal enemy. This isn't a video game, and it's not a fairy tale. It's a very real world war. Turn with me, if you would please, to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In the New King James, it says, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then verse 9 says, "Resist him, steadfast in your faith." In 2 Timothy 3, we'll learn more about the behavior of some people, but in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 3, Paul does point out a game plan, and it's this. Those false teachers, what are they going to do? They're going to creep into households and make captives of gullible women who are loaded down with sins and led astray by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We can learn and study all we want, but if we don't have the knowledge, it does us no good. These false teachers creep into households. Paul right here is giving us one of the schemes, one of the game plans of Satan. He's attacking the ladies. He's looking for us who are gullible and not in the word and not knowledgeable. We need to be ready. Paul knew that those dangers existed in his day and that it would continue to increase in the last days before the return of Jesus. It's one thing to have such evil presence in the world. It's another thing to allow it into our homes. That may be someone knocking on our door from another religion, another occult. It could be what we're watching on TV and letting the kids watch. It could be so many things. That's a personal thing that you seek out with the Lord on your own, but we have to be careful what we bring into, what we allow into our homes. The danger of deception, deceiving spirits, and demonic spirits who seek to deceive men and women, entice them away from the truth, and those who are deceived continue to spread the deception. Okay. Those who fall away will believe doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These false teachers look for those who will believe or pay attention to almost anything that's packaged just the right way. We all have certain things that maybe we lean towards, and Satan knows who to put into our lives with that little deception, that little deceiving lie that's just kind of towards your bent, and you tend to listen then and start paying attention because that's what we're interested in. Now, if someone were to come to your home and say, hey, what I'm about to tell you isn't exactly what the Bible says, it's not exactly what Jesus teaches, would you even listen? Of course not. They're giving you a warning that this isn't exactly what the Lord says, but you're not going to listen because why would I listen to that? I want to know what Jesus said. That's not the devil's way. He's cunning and he's sly. They give you just enough truth packaged with lies. If you don't know the real from the counterfeit, you could be deceived. So sisters, be alert. Don't just be alert of the enemy's schemes. I realized this as I was writing the lesson. It isn't just his schemes, but it's my weaknesses. I have to know what my weaknesses are. Because if I don't, he's going to sneak in that way. I don't know what your weaknesses are. I'm just saying be aware of them because he'll bring someone into your life or something into your life that's going to make you weak in that area. And suddenly you find yourself distracted. And that's another thing. With soldiers, I think of our military men out there on the field. They have to be so focused and so alert. Being alert is being ready, not being distracted by the things around us. And there's a lot to distract us nowadays, isn't there? The news, the internet, there's so many things that distract us. We need to stay alert. So we know the counterfeit from the real. The banks and people in stores know a counterfeit from the real. Why? Because they handle the real all the time. When you handle the real, you'll know the counterfeit when it comes. We want to encourage you, ladies, to get into your Bibles, learn how to handle the Word of God so that you're not deceived when the counterfeit comes along. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we are familiar with the devil's schemes. It says we are familiar. He's assuming we know the scriptures. How are we familiar? By knowing the good truth, the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. You've shown me by being here today that that's important to you. And those of you watching online, that this is important to you, knowing the truth. You did your homework, you studied, you stayed in the Word, you prayed. You don't want to be a part of the some who fall away. And you've shown that to us by being here and studying. As we mature in the Word of God, we're not tossed and blown about by every wind of new doctrine or teaching. We won't be easily influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Doctrines of demons are specific teachings of these deceiving spirits. Pastor David Guzik points out that the first demonic doctrine spoken to a human is found in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. There, Satan told Eve the first lie and the first false doctrine. He said, Eve, if you eat the fruit from this tree, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. That was an absolute lie. The deceptions are still around us. We may not see or hear a physical serpent speaking to us, at least I hope you're not. Let's look at one of the current methods that Satan is using to confuse or hook believers into false doctrine, the internet. There we find various platforms like social media, blogs, and websites that we might be drawn to. My son recently found a post on one of these social media sites that sparked a discussion between he and I. The photo that they posted showed a picture of two rabbis, and under that photo it said, if these guys were truly God's chosen people, why would they call themselves rabbi when God clearly said in Matthew 23:8, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Well, the first thing I thought of was they're rabbis. They don't read the New Testament. They stick to the Old Testament. Secondly, the other danger that I saw is the question itself. It starts off with, if these are truly God's chosen people. If these are God's chosen people, God said the Jews are his chosen people. That has never changed. He fulfilled everything in the New Testament. They are still his chosen people. The church has not replaced it. Other people have not replaced them. The Jews are still the chosen people. So there it brings into question God's people. The word if brings into question what God clearly stated throughout the Old Testament. The people on this post also try to say that the verses in the Bible speaking of God's people were referring to the Israelites and that they're separate from the Jewish people. We haven't left our brains at the door when we became Christian, did we? Let's think things through when we see things like this. And I'm so glad that my son saw this and went, no, that's not right. You can see the danger in that comment. My son said, these guys post some things that are right on, but some things that are way off. In some cases, it's a matter of people not understanding, and in other cases, it's a matter of them knowingly deceiving. We have to be aware that people out there knowingly deceive us, or are trying to at least. Some really believe sincerely what they believe, but that doesn't mean they're right. The truth mixed with some lies is a tactic that the enemy has used for centuries. The first 15 minutes may sound really good, ladies. It's that 16th minute. You can watch someone who's very charismatic on TV or wherever, but pay attention to the words. Listen very carefully. Jesus told us to beware in verse 3. Some of the false teachings going on during Paul's time, forbidding marriage and commanding people to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but really are vicious wolves. They're disguised. They look harmless. They look good. They do good things. But be very careful, Jesus said in Matthew 7:15. And in Hebrews 13:9, it says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Examine what I hear and test it against the scripture. That was what the people living in the city of Berea in Macedonia did. When the Apostle Paul shared the gospel with them, they received the message eagerly, but examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. They questioned the Apostle Paul. When you think about that, they questioned the apostles, men who walked with Jesus. But that was good. He's giving them kudos for doing that. Search the scriptures. Make sure that what's being said is really of God. God's word is always consistent, and he never contradicts himself. The only way to ensure that we're receiving godly teaching is to check it against the word of God. Is it in line with what God has said in the Bible already? If it contradicts what you've already known, what you already read, does it contradict the basic foundations of your faith? Do you know the basic foundations of your faith? What you believe about the Bible? What we believe about Jesus Christ? If you hear anything that contradicts those things, be aware. The goodness of God's creation, verses 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We can eat all things with thanksgiving and gratitude towards God. We receive the blessings of food, shelter, and comfort as gifts, not as rights. Everything we have, ladies, is a gift, and he's made us stewards of our home, our food, everything that we have. It's a gift. It's a blessing. There's so many countries that go with that, and we've been very blessed here in America, and we need to remember to always thank him for that. Paul said that nothing is to be refused. We are not limited by any kind of diet like some of the false teachers were prophesying at this time or proposing at this time. Paul is simply saying that what we eat doesn't make us more spiritual before God. That's all he's saying. Will my eating a whole bag of chips make God love me less? No. Won't be good for my health. It'll show up on the scale, I'm sure. Will eating a whole bag of veggies make him love me more? No. We all know that what we eat may affect our physical health, but that is not what Paul is talking about. You remember the story of Paul's vision in Acts 10? Does everyone know that story? If you get an opportunity, read Acts 10 tonight or tomorrow. When he was on a rooftop praying just before lunchtime, he fell into a trance. And in this trance, God lowered a sheet. And on that sheet were all these creatures, things that the Jewish people were forbidden to eat. They were considered unclean foods. And God said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "No, Lord, that's against the Jewish law." Three times that happened. When God wants to make a point very clear, with emphasis, he repeats himself. Three times he wanted to make it very clear to Peter what he was saying. The sheet was taken up into heaven. In context, God was telling Peter that not only is it okay to eat all God has made, but that all people, every tribe, every tongue, he's not talking race, he's talking people. All people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation are accepted by God and are given the gospel, and it's available to everyone. Peter dropped the legalism and dropped the prejudice, because when Paul came to preach to the Gentiles, that became an issue for some Jews. But God said, "No, I'm calling them too." Keep your priorities straight, verses 6 through 11. If you instruct the brethren in these things, Timothy, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. That's verse 6. Timothy's calling was to instruct the believers, to feed them the word of God faithfully and carefully. But in order for Timothy to do that, he has to nourish himself, right? What good is a teacher who doesn't know what he's teaching? He has to nourish himself and be in the word as well. He, like any believer, has to stay anchored in God's word. His word nourishes us when we're weak and weary from trials we sometimes face. Anybody ever been through a trial? Right? How many of you have gone to God's word and just let that wash over you? I have a lot of times, especially Psalm 91. That one is just one of my go-to passages when I'm really struggling. It gives us what we need to grow strong in our faith, our belief, and understanding of who God is, his nature and his character. We learn more about God and who he is when we're in the word. We learn his character, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his love, his concern, his power, his sovereignty. It's all there. Verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, Paul tells Timothy here, let's keep focused on God's word, not on the teachings and opinions of people, but on what God says. Again, when you hear teaching, look at the scripture and test it against scripture. Old wives' tales are fictional and temporal, but God's word is eternal. This book, these passages, these scriptures, they weren't broken into chapter and verse. They were letters, but they've lasted for centuries. God has kept his word pure. I was studying a book called Know Why You Believe, and he talked a little bit about scripture. And that the any differences anyone found in the old manuscripts to what we have today are simply commas or the different spelling of a word like honor, H-O-N-O-R or H-O-U-N-O-N-E-R. It's the same word. They were minor. Everything else was the same. God is able to keep his word pure and perfect. And I love that. I love that I can go to it and trust it. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. So the ancient Greeks and the Romans put high value on physical exercise. They had the Olympics, they had races, they were very physical people and loved sport. But Paul tells Timothy that the same work and commitment that they put in into physical exercise should also be put in to pursuing godliness, because that is profitable for all things. Physical exercise is good, not my favorite thing, but it's good for us. But godliness, he's saying, is good for everything. So that's valuable for both temporal, in the temporal sense and the eternal sense. Pursuing godliness. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip away every weight that slows us down. I believe Sandy taught last week here as well in the evening, and she talked a little bit about letting go of those things. It was a convicting message for me that I needed to hear. Even as a believer of over 40 years, there are still things in our lives that stumble us, and we need to take those and throw them off so we can continue running this race, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance a race that God has set before us. The Christian life is being described here as a battle or warfare. In Ephesians 6:12, and 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5. And it's also described in Hebrews as running a race. Both of those things need physical strength and endurance. I did a search on what it takes to build up endurance, since I'm not a runner. I found a few things on a health and wellness website that I thought can also be applied to my spiritual walk. So I need exercise. If I'm going to run a race, I need to get ready, right? You run the few miles for your marathon. So we need exercise. Well, in the spiritual sense, we have spiritual muscles, the brain for sure, to get focused and strong. And we do this through prayer. You can look at Matthew 26:41. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So watching and praying keeps you from temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that the truth? We get stronger in our faith when we study his word. Regular Bible study will strengthen you and give you courage. You'll grow in confidence of God's truth. And when we study his word, we learn to trust in him, Proverbs 3:5. When we're diligent in our study of God's word, we learn how to correctly explain the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And to know if what we hear from others regarding the spiritual things that we hear is of God. And again, that's Acts 17:11. Another part of the exercise, I just heard on the radio on my way here, was memorizing scripture. The brain isn't a muscle, so to speak, but it is where the enemy tends to attack. And memorizing scripture. Now, some of you might say, oh, I can't memorize scripture. I can't memorize anything like I used to. And yet I can remember little commercial jingles from way back or phone numbers that I can't remember any phone numbers now because everything's on speed dial. But I still remember my parents' phone number. They've had the same number for many, many years. And addresses, things like that. If we can memorize those things, ladies, we can remember God's word. We can memorize his scripture. And the Holy Spirit will help us do that. It's an honorable thing. It's a godly thing to do. So exercising the mind by memorizing the scriptures. One thing I didn't mention this morning was nourishment, eating healthy to get ready for a race or the battle. You have to be nourished. I think of the battle with Jonathan, and Saul had told them not to have any, they couldn't eat anything during that battle, and Jonathan didn't know that decree had gone out. I can't remember what chapter that is in 1 Samuel, I'm sure. And Jonathan hadn't heard that, and he ate some honey, and it refreshed him. We have to be nourished for the battle, and in doing that, that getting into the word, Jesus said himself, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we need to be nourished. Meditating on God's word helps build strength in our minds, where the enemy likes to often creep in and distract. Isn't that the truth? Our minds can go off into so many directions. We get distracted by this or that, or kids are doing this, or I don't know what my kid's doing here, and we're off on that rabbit trail. And God's saying, come back. I need you right here, focused on me, not on that. I've got that taken care of. I need your heart right now. He used to do that with me quite often. Music. How many of you like music? How many of you like to sing? Do you like listening to good praise music? I know when I'm going through my tough times, I crank up the radio and just put on praise music if I'm in the car. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the car crying. Probably shouldn't do that. But I've got the radio cranked up with some good praise music because he's just washing that music over me. Listen to your favorite worship song playlist or your CDs. Sing praise songs when you're fearful. Sing when all you want to do is cry and give up. How many times have we read the songs of David, of King David, a man who was most of the time running from his enemies? You can read Psalm 27, Psalm 59, Psalm 91, on and on. I'm sure each of you has a favorite psalm that encourages you. Verse 10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Verse 11 says, these things command and teach. We trust in the living God. This is to be the great motto of the Christian life. Even as David challenged Goliath in the name of the living God, 1 Samuel 17, so our trust in the living God empowers us to accomplish great things for his glory. Ladies, when you became a Christian, I hope you didn't think your life was going to be easy, that it was just going to be a bed of roses and everything was going to be wonderful. I realized early on, beautiful rose beds have thorns too. That's the reality of life on earth. But we're not in it alone. That's the reality of accepting Jesus and knowing him as your Lord and Savior. You're never alone. Our trust is in the living God. He empowers us to accomplish great things for his glory. Do we tell others of the victories in our life because we trusted in the living God? Are we setting up stones of remembrance to the glory of God? Have you got children or grandchildren that you can share what God has done for you? I shared this morning a story of my daughter when she was young. And I was already out of the house, so she was there at her dad's. She couldn't find the house keys. And she was in an absolute panic because she knew he'd be upset. And she called me. I said, well, let's pray. So we prayed that God would show her where those keys were. And she said after we prayed, for some reason, she went to her dresser, opened up the drawer, and there they were. She never keeps her keys there. Who knows why they were there? She dropped them in there. I don't know. We do things mindlessly sometimes. But she gave God the glory for that. To hear that from an 11-year-old, she's now 40. But for me to remember that prayer request, that answered prayer, and to share it now with my granddaughter, who's 6, and to see the little victories in her life. When she prays at night, and she says, God, give me super-duper awesome dreams, because she's afraid of having nightmares. So when she wakes up, she hasn't had any nightmares, and she says, Jesus answered my prayer. I didn't have any bad dreams. Rejoice in those times. Share with our kids the victories that we've had. Set up those stones of remembrance around our home. I have stones at the house that I have actually written on verses or my granddaughter's names, some accomplishment or something that God did, because I want them to remember. And they have those stones that have Bible verses on it too. You know, you can find some special ones and share those. Do something in a tangible, real way to share the glory of God with others. Be an example. Verses 12 through 16, let no one despise your youth, Timothy, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Timothy was probably no older than his late teens, early 20s when he joined up with Paul. That's pretty young. And to be leading the church the way he was obviously a man of God who knew his word. He had been raised from childhood by his mother and grandmother. That perked my interest right there. Moms, grandmas, you could be raising the next Timothy. Be an influence. And in his early teens and 20s, he joined Paul, but he had already distinguished himself as faithful to the elders, and the elders noticed him. I love Paul's encouragement to Timothy. He said, "Don't let anyone think any less of you, Timothy, because you're young." When it comes to serving the Lord faithfully and in a godly way, age doesn't matter, not to God, if he's doing it the way God has called him to. I want to encourage you young women who are here today or watching online, if you're walking with the Lord and serving him in your homes, at your jobs, in ministry at the church, whatever it might be, wife, daughter, mother, even granddaughter, you might have a grandparent who doesn't know the Lord, but you can be an influence. Keep doing God's work. Or like Joy says, keep doing great things for God. Wake up every morning seeing what he's got on your appointment calendar for that day. Be an example by what you say. People listen. Be an example by what you do, your conduct, in love, in attitude, your spirit, in faith, in the sense of being faithful. When you're given a task to do at work or wherever, be faithful in doing that task. And in purity, and we all know what that means. We are all, no matter what age, to be an example to other believers. Those older or younger than us, it doesn't matter. Don't be prejudiced against someone who's older or someone who's younger and think, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They're too young. Really? Would you have said that to Timothy? Oh, she's way past her prime. She's so old. She's, you know, there's wisdom there. I love sitting with the more mature Christian, because she's lived it out, and she can give me some really great tips. The Lord always teaches me something about myself through you, ladies, regardless of your age. And I learn and I'm encouraged by how you love, how you react to things. You know you're being watched, right? We don't think we are, but people watch. If they know you're a Christian, they really watch, because they want to see how you're going to react to situations. Political climate, what's going on? What's your behavior like? I've seen things coming across the social media from Christians that's really shameful. Let's not be like that. Our conduct should be pure. I learn from you as I watch your faith in difficult times. I learn valuable lessons from my friend Jolene. Jolene used to sit right there every Sunday morning. She was well into her 80s when she went home to be with Jesus. And I learned so much from her character, her demeanor, her attitude, her laughter about things, and just trusting in God. And when she went home to Jesus, it was really hard. But I still remember, I sit in her rocking chair that she gave me, and I'll always remember those times that we spoke. And I'm learning from our sweet sister Bree here at the church. Everything she's going through, she's in her 20s, and the strength that God has put on that girl's life. And now she praises God and she is faithful. We can learn from one another, ladies. We just need to take the time. Verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Till I come." When I read those words, I remembered the parable that Jesus told us in Luke 19. It's a parable of the talents. A master calls 10 of his servants over, and he tells them, "I'm going away for a while, but I will be back. In the meantime, I'm going to give you 10 minas, which is 3 months' worth of wages." He gave them a task to do, to invest what he gave them until he returns. Read the rest of the story to get it. But he said, "Do business till I come." In other words, invest what I've given you until I come back. That's a parable. There's a truth there to be learned. Jesus is the master. He has given us talents. He has given us gifts. He has given us things. And what are we to be doing? We're to be about his business. We're to be investing those talents and those gifts. Now, you might be sitting here going, I don't have any talents or gifts. I don't have anything to give. Yes, you do. Can you pray? Do you have time at home to pray for someone who's ill? Do you have time to fix a meal? Do you have whatever it is? We all have something to give back to the kingdom, to honor the Lord. Do business until he returns. And that's going to be soon, sooner rather than later, I hope. But we all have a job to do, and he's just telling us, till I come back, give attention to the reading, to exhorting one another. We can do that, right? Give attention to your teaching, to your doctrine, to your learning. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Paul encourages Timothy to use the gifts that were given to him by God and confirmed by the leaders in the church. And we should not bury those abilities that God has given us, but to use them for his glory. Verse 15 says to meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them with your progress, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on these things. Okay, Paul called Timothy to meditate on God's word and the work of God in his life. Now, ladies, this is not the goal of Eastern meditation, okay? Eastern meditation, you empty yourself, you empty your mind. What Paul is talking about here is filling your mind with the word of God. Meditate on the things of God. Meditate on those, on his word. By filling our minds with God's word, you put your all into everything you do for spiritual growth. When you do, your progress will be evident to everyone. When you are living out the word of God, because it's so in you, so ingrained in you, people see it. When my husband and I started going to another church many years ago, he was not familiar with Calvary Chapel, so he didn't know what to expect. But as we sat in the back, he noticed a gentleman in the front, off to the left, his hands lifted, praising God. We learned later, we got to know him. His name was Mark, I believe. He was homeless. He had been homeless, on drugs, had the tattoo 666 across his forehead that he covered with a bandana. I think he eventually had that removed. But when Jim saw him worshiping and praising God, Jim said, I want that. His conduct matched what he knew. His conduct matched what he had learned of the love and the faithfulness and the forgiveness of God. If you haven't experienced that deep forgiveness for your past, let it go. Lay it at the cross. He's there to forgive. And we are being watched very carefully by those around us. So fill your mind again with the word of God. Make the time, take the effort to invest in prayer and in Bible study, and it'll produce godly fruit that will be evident to everyone around you. Verse 16 says, take heed for yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Chapter 4 opened with a warning against false teaching and deceiving spirits. And Paul is telling Timothy that by faithfully holding on to God, the godly life and the word of God, he will save himself from the false teachings, and he will also rescue his hearers. So when he says you'll save yourself and others, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about keeping them safe with sound doctrine, keeping them safe from the dangers of false doctrine. And again, we can do that today, knowing the scriptures, sharing it with our kids, our grandkids, because they're hearing and being bombarded, we all are, with false doctrine. So staying in that, we will be saving them from a fate worse than death. All right, so in closing, this is a quote from a devotional from the Our Daily Bread, and it was written by C.H. Tan. And they wrote, if we are true and faithful disciples of Christ, we will also increasingly show the fruit of the Spirit in our words and in our actions. We will not be hearers of the word only, but doers, James 1:22. As we allow the word of God to transform our lives, may God's word continue to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119, verse 105. Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, we give you praise. We ask that you give us wisdom and discernment, Father, as we learn about you, so that we won't be led astray, Lord, by false teaching. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in sharing your truth and your word with others, that we will help draw them closer to you, Jesus, as you drew us, Lord. As you minister to our hearts, Father God, I pray that we would minister, Lord, to those around us. Father, I pray for an anointing on these ladies here tonight, Father, and online. God, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit as they get into your word. Father, that you would show them, reveal to them, Lord, your truths. Father God, if there is any way in them or anything, Father, that they need to let go of, Father God, I pray that you would just continue, Lord, to work on her. Father, that you would work in me, that you would help me to just admit those things, repent of them, and turn away, Father, from those things. Lord, that I could walk closer to you, Father God, that we would all return to the first love that we had with you, Jesus. It's your desire, Father, for us to be as close as possible. And Lord, we know that through your word you do that. Through prayer you do that, Father. I pray that as these ladies have prayer time this week, Lord, that you would answer them, Father, according to your will, that you would give them a peace. Father, that they would let go of things that they're holding on to. Lord, that they would let go of the fear that they may have, Lord. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're bigger than COVID-19, Father. You're bigger than all the things in our life, Lord. And Father, for those who are ill, we pray for a healing, Father. God, we pray for this nation. We pray for our president. We pray for the elections, Lord. I pray that we would be women who are faithful in prayer for those in authority, Lord, because you've called us to do that. We just thank you, Father, for this time. I pray now that you bless their time in small group, Lord, that they have discussion, that they would encourage one another and grow from one another, Father, that we would be warriors for you, Jesus, fully prepared and ready with our armor on, Father, for the battle, to always remember that there's going to be a battle, Lord, but you have the victory. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up.